To go. Thank you.
No, it's okay.
You're good.
Do the taping, the video,
Will is starting. Oh, that's him, I think, right?
You're getting much better at this, I can tell.
Hello? Why is it not?
Hold it down. There we go.
Hello?
Hi, Jason Dunn, EFC.
Oh,
hey,
good.
Jason, how are you?
It worked,
good.
Okay.
How you doing, Peter?
Good, thanks. We've got the whole gang here. Thanks for joining us. We're just about to gavel in, and we'll get started, and there we go. Hey, everybody. Thank you. Welcome to the Wednesday, July 13th meeting of the Septic Subcommittee, Subcommittee of the Committee on Environment and Energy. Hi, Mary Beth. How are you? Good, thank you. So what we're meeting today is to continue our discussion on the Clean Watersheds Needs Survey. We had begun discussing scoping last week, and today we're going to discuss just some of the things that some of us are doing in terms of submissions. Wendy, do you know where Chris went? All right, we need Chris. Thank you. So, Jason, actually, while we're waiting for Chris Crane, who's going to do the first presentation, we have a set of minutes, if you all reviewed those. Again, we don't need to formally approve them, but if you could look them over for corrections content. Okay, thank you. Chris is here. All right, thanks. Jason, Chris Crane is here. He sent you a detailed email today. The board, as we discussed last week, the Board of Legislators, our assignment was to send you the Kensico Watershed project reports. For all of you scoring at home, we have this document, which is the executive summary, which Chris put together. And then we have this, which is the massive one. This, I believe, was emailed to all of you. We didn't print copies. What? The link was emailed to everybody. So if you can't access it, let us know. We've got it. So first up, Chris is going to spend a few minutes just taking us through what he put together. And then, Jason, if you or anyone around the table has questions, feel free to ask.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, this is Chris Crane. Hi, Jason.
Chris, can I interrupt you 1 second? If there is anybody watching on live stream and you want to see this document, go to the meeting portal and the document is there. So you can watch that you can see the document as Chris is viewing this. And believe it or not, people do watch our septic subcommittee meetings as they stream. So, Chris, go ahead. Thank you. No more interruptions from me.
Sure. So I pulled this together, and there's a lot of knowledgeable folks here, so I welcome any supplement comments on the information. It's basically this table is broken down into first off, it focuses on the Croton watershed. And I didn't find too many projects or applicable projects in the Kensico portion of the watershed. But that Kensico watershed is also subject to these enhanced MS4 requirements. So what you see is under non-point source projects on the first two pages are projects that were identified by an engineer, O'Brien and Gear, that the CEQIC group, I understand, had retained and developed these projects. So I took the first two pages of retrofit projects from that report. They're broken down, classified by municipality. So that's what you'll see on the first two pages. Again, I'm welcome any kind of comment from the Supervisor Murphy or others about that.
Excuse me 1 second, Mary Beth. How does this compare with your list? I know you were going to send the complete engineer's report of all your projects.
Yes, Sabrina, I believe, sent a CD. It's too large to send electronically.
Right.
To get in touch with Dave. Jason about sending.
Yeah, I haven't received that yet, but I did email Sabrina, and she's going to send that to you.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to clarify that.
We do have. This only was 66 projects. There are 81 that were included in the plan, and then another, at least another 100 that are anticipated in the future. So I could get you a copy of basically what you have here, but that lists all of those projects.
Okay. And those would be probably farther out than 5 years.
Yes.
You know, things
that drive. Although we have found that even in the first 2 years, the projects that were done, the estimated phosphorus reduction was higher than the actual phosphorus reduction that we received from the actual DEC, the actual credit that we received from DEC. So even so, those projects will have to be done within the first 5 years in order to meet our goal.
So this list then will be bigger. On the first two pages.
Okay.
Then you have what I have for point source projects in the Croton watershed, which are priority projects identified through the Northern Westchester Watershed Committee. Again, I put this together myself. I welcome comment. You'll see a project in Bedford, the wastewater plant expansion, the Newcastle sewers that are proposed. I included Peach Lake. I think that project is under construction, so I'm not sure how applicable that's going to be for the need survey. I have it here.
And the finance has been committed, Chris, and you know, I will not include it in the 2012.
Okay.
If it's been committed by EFC. I'm assuming that's where they're getting their plan of that's where their plan of finance is.
Yeah, they're
correct.
Still looking for more money though.
Yeah, I don't know. They have $10 million through the East of Hudson funds. I don't know if they also.
I think they did. I remember being on a conference call where we were negotiating that, but they still have an extremely high annual dues from the property owners. Which is at least twice the comptroller's recommended district fee. So I know that the town is still looking for money, but it may not qualify according to your rules, but for those of us who represent them, we know they're eagerly looking for more money.
You're speaking, Peter, of their user rates.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay. And I note that it is on the draft IUP document.
Okay.
A couple Peach Lakes are line items on there. Okay, so I do have some question marks, which I think on our side here, we'll have to still find out what the right number is and whether it's applicable. And then I just attached on the last two pages of the table are what I saw as excerpts from the draft IUP document. You can see that page 4, page 5. There's a couple Peach Lake, the Bedford projects on there, $50.092 million.
One second, Jeff. That's the last number we have. Is that in the ballpark, or do you have a more recent number?
The latest number we have is about 60.
60.
I assume that's a gross number. There were no subtractions from that because it's.
I just took it right off the draft IUP document.
Probably isn't it? It's probably 3 years old, 4 years old.
Okay.
All right, so Jason, cross out that 59 and put in a 60.
Now,
we were going to give you a separate update.
All right, Jeff's got a separate update he just told me.
Yeah,
go ahead.
From the SRF standpoint, you'll want to submit that to EFC Albany, any updates or revisions to that engineering report with updated cost, schedule, scope. Okay.
So that's the tables. I'll just note on the IUP, the draft IUP, there are not many projects, point source projects listed. I included the ones in the Croton watershed. Westchester County has a large number of projects on the draft IUP list, and those are all, mostly outside the Croton watershed. I didn't list those here, but that's on the draft IUP. And
okay.
So, yeah. And so what I, after the table in that large document is, I have various engineering reports that support the point source projects. There's the non-point source projects, the stormwater retrofits, and then I even, you know, just included the tables from the draft IUP.
You did a great job here, Chris, in this spreadsheet. You know, you're identifying the municipality, the source, the cost. Instead of submitting, I'm assuming this is a multitude of several different engineering reports for these projects from O'Brien and Gear. And what I'll have you do is only scan the spreadsheet, you know, the spreadsheet's fine to submit because that's a documentation type using the spreadsheet, undercover letter from the county. What we'll do is take a copy of the cover page of O'Brien and Gear with a engineering stamp with the description of the project, you know, the one-page description, and the cost. That should be sufficient for Washington. And I'll clarify that I will have Washington review that. But that's the, you know, what you've done here is great. You know, it really outlines the point source, the non-point source. I don't want you copying hundreds of engineering reports. What they need to see only is the cover page, you know, a cover letter from the county, cover page, and the cost page from the report.
And
okay.
And how detailed does the cost page on the report need to be?
Usually, you know, you want to it'll usually be table, however the engineer has identified the cost. Mm-hmm. You know, from planning to planning, design, construction, startup, those costs. Usually it's in a table or appendix of the report. So it'll be that, you know, or a spreadsheet of those of the engineering report.
Okay. In that file, just FYI, we've included, you know, those types of pages. If you want, you can kind of see what they look like, but, you know.
Okay. Understand. Again, if I have any questions from Washington, I'll contact you and say, okay, we need, you know, some additional pages or some additional information. Because, again, I do not want you, you know, making copies of maybe these 100-page reports, for project needs. So, great job and hats off, and, we'll continue, identifying the sources of need.
All right, great. Chris, thank you very much. I know you put a lot of time into this, a ton of work. Thank you. Then the next big regional one was the MS4 that Mary Beth, Supervisor Murphy just spoke about. So that's on its way up there in disc form.
Yes, and that is, it's these same projects.
Yeah.
So, it's just in the back for them. So you may not even need, it sounds like you don't even need the whole report. Jason.
Yeah, and I'll just, like I said, if I have, like, in that CD, copies of the reports, is the only, like I said, the only thing I'm going to make is copies of the cover page, the description, project description. Traditionally, we've sent in capital improvement plans, and usually they're line, one line or one sentence descriptions, and they're saying, well, we need more documentation. So usually the project description and an engineering report will provide that with a detailed cost. So that's sufficient.
Each one of these projects has associated with it what we call a reconnaissance form, and it's basically a form that kind of provides, basic information about the project. So that might is a one-page form that was filled out for each one of these potential projects. So that,
okay.
That might be
perfect.
What you need. Yeah. And that's in the report too.
Great.
All right, great. Thank you. And I know just from our end, just cleaning up our loose ends, we're supposed to send you the Savin study. I think Wendy sent you that.
Yeah.
The link to that. Okay.
Yeah, I have the link.
Okay. And then, as Bill Harding said, any of the information that you need about the enhanced MS4 stormwater report, obviously the state has, okay. But you know, Chris or Mary Beth can point you to an appropriate link if you know, you need certain passages.
Okay, thank you very much, Peter.
Okay, thanks. Dolph.
Yeah, they...
Just for the record, so we can pick you up, please identify yourself.
Dolph Rothfeld, Rothfeld Engineering. This particular thing I'm talking about is representing the village of Mount Pisco. We have a project to add to this list, which would be part of the submission for next Friday.
Perfect. That would be great. In fact, Mayor Sindrich and I have discussed it. Is this the pump house thing? That would be great. We would love the specs on that.
And I don't know if you've gotten anything from environmental facilities, but they have probably a need about increasing the size of the force main and eliminating the obstruction in the gravity sewer line south of Reader's Digest.
Okay. Whatever. Documentation you have for per the kinds of specs that Jason is talking about. Oh, this is it right here. This is a sawmill upgrade. All right,
Jim Palmer sent that.
Okay, so we will forward this to you. We just got this, Jason. Thank you, Dolph. We have this electronically. We'll send this up.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Dolph. That was fast. I just spoke to Mike about this today.
Well, this travels fast.
It's a digital world, Peter.
Thank you. All right. So I will remember to get this up to you later today. Chris.
We might want to escalate a couple of the cost figures because they're in values that are a couple of years out, a few years out. Is there a preferred way of doing that?
Right now, you're assuming that you're looking at, is this a five-year plan, Chris, you're looking at?
No, it's individual projects. Some of these projects were estimated, a few years ago. I have a 2007 report. That kind of thing. And I even have some older reports.
Okay. And, I talked to you about the thresholds of the documentation and the dates of those documentations. But what will happen is when the costs are entered into the database based on the supporting documentation used, say an engineering report dated 2007, those costs will be escalated to automatically based on CPI indexes and engineering indexes that EPA uses in the data entry portal to January 1st, 2012 dollars. And you're going to be looking at costs that go beyond that out 20 years. So if there's additional needs within that spreadsheet that are out 20 years, identify them. But again, it will only be at January 1st, 2012 dollars.
Okay. All right. What I think we want to do just from a process standpoint, we have one more countywide issue to talk about, and then we'll go around the table and open it up to individual municipalities for their discussion. Did you forward this up to Jason?
I think so.
All right, you might have received, Jason, from Wendy. It was a forward of an email that Paul Cutsey from the Health Department sent to me. Paul is sitting here.
Yeah.
You've met before. Why don't we give Paul just a second for the edification of the folks at the table just to bring them up to date, and then you guys can sort of cross-pollinate there.
Okay. Westchester County Sanitary Code requires that licensed septic system contractors report all septic system repairs and remediations that they perform. Between 2003 and 2010, septic system contractors have reported 2,148 septic system repairs and remediations. And that basically translates to an average of about 269 repairs and remediations performed annually throughout the county. What we tried to do is we had asked several licensed septic system contractors what it repairs or remediations generally cost. And for the most part, we pretty much got the same answer from all four contractors that we asked. And on average, a repair remediation costs about $13,400 each. And if you times that by 269, you come up with an annual course need on average of about $3,600,000. And it was brief. I just put, you know, this little bit together for discussion. And if there's any way that we could package this so that it could be included as a need.
Yeah, and Paul, and I was looking at that, and I was saying, well, I'll take that $3.6 million and multiply it by 20 years.
Right, exactly.
And that's going to give your, you know, your decentralized, your on-site needs. What I guess a follow-up, what I would try to do, and maybe I can work with you on this, is from the health department, if we could break it down by municipality, similar to what Chris was doing by project, by municipalities within the county, the type of system, the reason for failure. So we're kind of creating a foundation here, supporting documentation, and then the average cost. So they're saying the average cost is $13,400. Is that for, you know, can we, let's establish average cost for a conventional system in the county. We want to establish an average cost for a modified or a mound system or an innovative alternative design, so, or a hybrid of a system. So if we could establish those costs, kind of creating a, similar to Chris, a spreadsheet by municipality, type of system, reason for failure,
Jason?
Lot size, is it code, is it sewage, what is it structural failure, what are the reasons for the failure and the cost?
Jason, let me ask you a quick question. Can we prorate the municipalities? Because we know, we now have mapped where the septic systems are, so we know how many per municipality, but we don't necessarily know the exact failure rate by municipality. So can we take the countywide failure rate that Paul has developed it and prorate it across the municipalities?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes
we have evidence easy. Of that. Yes.
And in terms of how this average cost was developed, they basically, we asked the contractors to give a normal range of repairs and costs associated with that range, and then an average. So it could be as little as replacing a septic tank, which could be as little as $4,000 or so, to the other end where you're replacing the entire septic system, where you're getting up, I'm looking at my notes here, you know, upwards to $20,000. But it's hard. I mean, certainly I could, well, I don't know how practical it is, but I could speak to the existing repairs and theoretically give a lot of detail in terms of what was involved and what was the reason and the type of repair. But you know where that, you know, that's with the existing. What we're trying to establish the cost need for is what's going to happen in the future, and that's a little bit hard to predict in terms of detail, you know, in terms of whether it's just going to involve a septic tank replacement or replacement of an entire septic system or installation of an enhanced treatment unit along with installation of fill. That's why I was hoping that, you know, I could give basically forward to you what we put together from the septic contractors. But in the end, it amounts to, well, what's establishing the cost and the need? What is the average? What could we expect on average?
Correct. And Paul, you were saying that they were indicating 269 annually, and this was from a period of 2003 through 2010?
Yes. And it ranged, I think, you know, maybe at a busy year, we had as many as 350, and maybe we had as little as 229, but it was pretty much consistent over that period, with 269 being the average. So it would stand to reason that would continue into the future.
Correct. And were they tracking this information in some type of database or spreadsheet?
Absolutely. And I could forward okay. that to you as well.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thanks, Paul.
Great. Thanks, Paul. Dick, you had a...
Yeah, the two-part question for Paul, and then just something to toss out to Jason. Do the figures that you have just reflect the costs of the contractor's physical work, or do they include investigation and engineering and permitting? Because with all due respect to the PEs in the room, many times the engineering costs can equal or exceed the cost of the repair.
Yeah.
Yes, no, this did not factor in the engineering costs, just the materials and labor.
Yeah, so is it reasonable then to include that cost, number one, and then number two, within the next 5 years, in a perfect world, we will have now inspected 40,000 septic systems in the county, and isn't it reasonable to expect that the number of repairs is going to increase, I think, significantly beyond what we're doing right now?
Yeah, what I found right now is interesting is that about 11% of the repairs that are performed have resulted from a septic boiler inspection. 11%. The other 90% are people identifying the need for repairs to be done and doing that, without being prompted by the health department or another agency to do it. The other point is that's about 11% of repairs at this point. The other interesting part of this was, if you look at how many pump outs there were, and not how many yeses, you know, where they found potential evidence of sewage, but in fact where we followed up and found a failure, we're coming up at this point with the 15 was about 15,000 pump outs a year. We're only catching about 0.1% of those septic systems in failure. Whereas the 269 repairs done a year represents about 0.6%. So whereas the last time we met, I had indicated, hey, I think I could go with the septic hauler database information from there. It turns out that in the end, I'm really just looking at how many repairs are performed annually. Now, early on in the MS4 compliance, you're probably seeing people who would have otherwise pumped out the tanks were diligent about maintaining and caring for their system. Down the road, the percentage may rise because now people who would not have otherwise given their system any attention are now being forced to pump out their tanks, and we may start identifying a higher percentage of failures. With Yorktown, I'll be curious to see. For Yorktown, where you're really trying to attract people to identify and promote them, the incentive being we're going to give you some money, and it would be curious to see what percentage of septics out of all the septics in Yorktown are being found to be in failure, and that may be the most representative of what it more accurately represents what could be more accurately represented countywide.
Do you mean Cortland?
Yeah, just one point. Jason Ed Delaney from Bibbo Associates. We're engineers. I've missed the last couple of meetings. Paul, in order to help Paul out in his reporting to you, and I think Paul will agree that these repairs were done in this time frame, were all 99% on conventional systems and not on mounds or any other type of esoteric systems, but your straight pipe and stone systems that have been in Westchester County for 60, 70 years. So that's one category. There are no other categories I can think of.
Okay.
And number two.
I mean, that's okay.
Well, that's good. It's going to make Paul's job a little easier. And we always try to do that.
Going back to the planning, though, under the SRF program, yes, it's eligible. When we review it from an engineering standpoint, we always reimburse, the engineering planning costs, the soft costs, the legal costs, so on. However, with the need survey, planning costs are what we consider unofficial needs. They're not included in the we're seeking capital costs versus soft costs.
And one other point here, and Dick took some of the thunder out of this. See, these are reported. What's the big 800-pound gorilla out there that's unreported during the same time frame? There's really no reason we would know it or Paul would know it, right? Unless you want to take a good guess at.
Well, we're going to see two things. Well, first of all, we're going to see as we go further into further along in compliance with MS4, and people who would not otherwise be pumping out their tanks are now pumping out their tanks, and I would presume we're going to be identifying more failures. But again, the Cortland, would be curious to see how many people come forward with this monetary incentive. And we're curious to see what percentage of septics we're finding in failure.
Well, if you hold the same percentage in failure now that you're finding it, you increase by the number of pump outs. See, if you hold that same percentage, up that repair goes, right? The same number, maybe? Tracking on the same slope?
That's right, what you're trying to get to, I think.
Well, it was that.
If you're pumping out 1,000
systems. At that point, we're going to get people, to Paul's point, right now we're still getting the people who normally maintain and pump, but toward the end of those 5 years, we're going to get those people who haven't been pumped or inspected in 15 or 20 years, and I think that's when we're going to see the spike.
I think we're going to start seeing it as we go along here.
That's why we need to project, I think, right now.
Yeah. This number may be quite low, spread throughout the watershed, but the county. Well, that's a number we should look at.
All right. Noted.
Thank you.
Dan?
Just by way of exploration, I don't suppose this will be too easy to do, but we've talked about systems where even though there's no visible failure, all you have to do is look at it. You can see that technically they're not really performing. Typically on these tiny lakeside plots, or they're on the side of a buffer or something like that. Is there any way to bring those into the program somehow? It would be difficult to quantify, I understand.
Well, I think there were those 25 target areas as identified in the original Savin study that were those areas. Were we able to rope in those costs in what you were talking about, Chris? Was there anything in that report that quantified any of that?
My understanding, what I saw in the report, was it was mainly to sewer those focus areas to divert them out.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so
but
there should be like sewer costs.
Mm-hmm. Not what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
We've identified the problem, but we haven't quantified the cost, to your point.
Yeah, I don't know that the, certainly Lewisboro's little pockets of issues are
right
in any of these.
Well, that's kind of what Somers is in the early stages of quantifying.
I was just going to say, we're doing a study of the Shenorock Lake area, which is one of those 29 or 25 focus areas, and we're looking at all of those different things, what's the best approach to it, whether it's better, septic systems, some sort of a regional collection system, some hybrid of those things, and that hopefully will be done soon if I get the contract from the county so that I can execute it, so I can retain my engineer to do it.
We did our part.
And that maybe could be used as a sample for those different focus areas. I mean, you could use that. I mean, of course, every area is different, topography and everything else, but might be able to extrapolate some information from that could be used more broadly.
And Jason, can you have a redundant need? In other words, if one need will be showing a monetary need to replace those septics through diversion, but then in another, we're going to have another need where we're going to be showing an alternative where we're just replacing septics with septics.
Correct, yes, you can have that. And that's what I was going to get back until I see that report. You know, will, you know, whatever option or alternative is chosen, you're going to have replacement, repair, what have you, with some within some sections, and in other areas it'll go to a centralized type system with collection. Yes, so answer your question. Yes.
All right, Bob.
Hey, Jason. Bob Eichinger, Decentralized Advisors.
Hi, Bob.
National average is about 10% on failure for on-sites, right?
Can you repeat that?
National average failure rate for on-site systems, residential, is about 10%.
Well, what I've been seeing recently, you know, from the county standpoint, Fulton County and others, yes, 10%.
Okay. So if you look at Paul's numbers, which is real live data, Paul's reporting obviously is correct based on what's happened, but I think what the point that Dick is making is right, and I think Ed is trying to make the same point. This is 40,000 septic systems in Westchester County, so 10% is 4,000. You're looking at here at 300, so it's woefully underreported based on what we know. How can we skew that up to help you help us?
Well, I want to, you know, we're going to have to look at, I'm going to have to look at the Paul's hard data first before any type of modeling or rate increases or percent increases, because EPA Washington is going to look, you know, real hard, really at the history of the documentation. Right now, Paul's saying he's got evidence of through 2003 through 2010, which is great. It's solid documentation. But yes, it's under the 10% reduction. Is that an average that EPA has published? No. And that'll vary throughout the country. So let's look at the hard data that we have today and work with that first before we expand beyond that.
Certainly we're trying to maximize our need.
And I understand
but,
that.
But by the same token, I'm not going to say we're, you know, that's based on an expectation of 10%, not something that we know.
Right, I understand. I'm just pointing out, Jason, and it's a conversation maybe you continue to have with EPA, but it's a catch-22 on the on-sites. I mean, nobody wants to go out and dig up their backyard and take a look and see if their system's working beyond surface bonding. But yet we all know that number, or I'll speak for myself, we know that number's higher. And that's part of the reason why decentralized dollars continue to get underreported, which you're doing a good job trying to fix, but we're ignoring the obvious there.
I think, as Mary Beth pointed out, when we start, you know, we identify those hot spots and start adding up the septic systems there, that may capture what you're looking for.
I hope you're right.
We had the same problem for those of us old enough to remember in the late 70s, Jason, when EPA we were getting funding for sewers and decimated septic areas in Westchester County. We came flat up against a documentation failure. We all knew an area had many, many hundreds of failures, but yet that we had very little complaints from those areas. And the EPA took a hard look, and we broke that ice by having the EPA on site, boots on ground, and walked them through Crotonville, and walked them through Shenorock and a few other places. And they finally, I don't know how we did it back then, but we finally got the funds to sewer Crotonville and a few other places in Chappaqua just by having EPA on the ground and seeing where we didn't have the numbers, but we certainly had the problems. And this, I don't know if we're much better documented now through Paul's efforts, but you can see there's always going to be this large gap of reality and documentation when it comes to something as personal as reporting something on your neighbor or having a pumper reported. So it could be very interesting how we come up with these numbers.
It is. It is. And, you know, we're at a good start here. And, you know, we're creating, you know, somewhat history here of tracking this documentation and really focusing in on the regulatory agency that, you know, is the its mission is Department of Health, and really giving them, you know, the basis or knowledge of what out there, what type of systems are out there, why they're failing, and you know, and they're reviewing their regulations. So I think overall, I think it's we're moving forward, and I only see us expanding. You know, 2016, 2020, we're just going to improve every 4 years. So this is a great start. I appreciate your help.
Well, you're starting with the right spot. You start with the numbers, right?
Yeah.
And we take it upward.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, you know, this is the 08 was the first time where EPA really concentrated on, you know, separating out decentralized needs, because we threw it in another category at one, you know, when I started with a survey in 04, you know, was under urban category, which could have been a number of different types of needs. So with them focusing in on decentralized, they've created divisions within EPA focused in on decentralized. I really think this is a big part of their mission now, and for water quality protection. And the goal is, or the hope is, that funding will become available, but where that funding will go directly is to be determined. You know, is it going to go in the SRF program? Maybe, maybe not. You know, I don't have the answers to that. The only thing I can do is go to Congress and say, these are our needs, and this is the only, that report to Congress is the only document that members of Congress review, because it's consistent. And it's required under the Clean Water Act, and it's, you know, everyone's, all states are on the same playing field. So that's why it's so important.
Okay. Chris, you have a question, then I want to go to municipalities. Go ahead.
I just wonder, this is a general question, are you getting the type of data that you're looking for from surrounding down, you know, lower Hudson Valley, downstate counties and areas? I know obviously Putnam, but I'm just wondering, like Ulster, Rockland, Nassau, Suffolk.
No, I haven't. Again, I when I emailed out back in early May, you know, I had asked for sample documentation by the 22nd of July. So it's not like I'm holding out and not trying to contact those other counties. But I mean, you, Westchester County and Putnam County have really stepped up. Suffolk County with Ray Valheim and the Long Island area, that, you know, they really have, you know, stepping up and making a commitment to the need survey. Now, you know, I'm hoping by July 22nd that I'm going to be receiving some additional data, or it's going to take me going back out, you know, doing the same going out doing those presentations as we did with Westchester County and Putnam. I want to continue to do that. If that's what we have to do, then I'm going to do it. To market the survey, really getting the word out.
Okay. We've talked about some countywide issues. Let's talk, and we talked regional MS4. Let's save some time now for municipalities. Mary Beth, do you and Somers have things beyond, above and beyond the MS4 stuff that you wanted to discuss with
That's not enough.
With Jason?
The other issue that I asked my staff to look at somewhat was flooding, because I think that's another issue that the county probably could use some resources to address. We don't have a flood report in the town of Somers, but what my engineering assistant did is he kind of just took a town map and he identified areas on that map where we have had flooding issues based really on resident, you know, resident concerns that have been brought in. Is it worthwhile for me to just have him create, you know, kind of a spreadsheet like Chris has created here? Identifying those areas and generally a project would be that would be required to fix it, and then putting an amount on it. I don't have an engineer's report on that, and I don't really
For example, are you looking at, you know, maybe an existing treatment plant below the 100-year floodplain, and
No, they're not treatment plants. They're basically roads flooding out people's houses, that sort of thing.
We had spoken last week about stormwater conveyance.
Yeah, stormwater. If you're making a connection for stormwater and conveyance and general stormwater management and infrastructure needs by treatment and conveyance and education. If you have that documentation, I don't want to create more work for you, but if it's there, it's something you're moving, the town is moving towards having that type of plan, yes, they would be eligible cost, stormwater, those stormwater infrastructure needs or conveyance needs.
I mean, it's most of the stormwater study that was done by O'Brien and Gear is focused on phosphorus reduction because that's what we needed to do in terms of our NS4 compliance. There are other stormwater issues which are not directly related to phosphorus reduction that are still, town infrastructure issues, but I don't have a formal report that's been prepared to look at those and talk about those.
If it was something that you're doing internally in-house, I would say under cover letter with your signature, spreadsheet format. The only thing I'll get, more likely I'll get question on is the cost and how the costs were, associated with the projects. And I don't know if you have an in-house engineer or town engineer that could verify or certify those costs, but that would be.
I have an engineering consultant that we use, so I pay him, of course, for all the time that he spends on things. But I do have an engineering technician who probably, together with my highway superintendent, could put an estimated number on these, maybe even better than an engineer could. No offense to the engineers in the room.
Okay, none taken.
But when it comes to riprap and all this kind of highway stuff that they do, these guys they know what it costs them to put so many yards of material in a particular place or get a backhoe to dig dig something out and that sort of thing. So
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know whether that their word is sufficient.
I would let's take a look at that and like I said, coming up with a cost, the cover letter and spreadsheet and costs associated by it. And I'll make the argument or the pitch of how the cost calculations were developed.
Okay, I'll give it a try.
Jason, we at the county level have a lot of information, particularly central and down county on this subject. We had a flood action task force for a number of years dealing with the overabundance of stormwater and the conveyance needs. We'll contact the planning department about getting you that information.
Great, thanks, Peter.
Okay, let's go over to Jeff.
Jason, Jeff Osterman, town of Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
We plan to give you parts of two engineering studies on centralized sewers. Based on the handout you gave us last time, it sounded like you wanted more information than you're saying today. So can you repeat that? Just clarify that?
You're talking about centralized sewers?
Well, just what you want out of the report as opposed to the entire book, of course.
Well, traditionally, there's elements of the report, but the basic elements are you're looking at, as the engineering report stands, cover letter, it's official from the township or the county. The date of the engineering report, the project scope, or the description of the project, and the alternatives. Again, there could be a multitude of alternatives for one project, but I'm looking at the selected of alternatives. So the pages from the selected alternative and the cost associated with that alternative that was chosen. So that's all I'll need. So you're looking at, I'm looking at dates, engineering signatures, project description, not one sentence for a project, and costs associated with that.
All right, well, that's what tracks what you gave us last time.
You mean from when I was describing an engineering report or facilities plan or
well, capital improvement plan? Whatever we got was called data and documentation submittal guidelines.
Yes, and that was more focused on that's on decentralized needs, because if you can go to the EPA website or our website, and that'll give you, I talked about those seven elements, required elements of identifying needs, but if you're taking your need for a centralized system directly from an engineering report, I don't need to see the whole engineering report, and I apologize if I misspoke.
No problem.
Just tear that apart, right, Jeff? Just take out some of those pages.
Yep.
That salary board. Okay. Updated and
pay somebody to sign it, right?
Yeah.
All right, so that's the Bedford concern. Other municipalities, specific questions about documentation is kind of why we're here. Yes, sir. Why don't you step up to the table so the mics can pick you up? And for the record, I mean, we know who you are, but
sure. The
microphones don't. State your name and where you're from.
Michael Preziosi, Engineering Department, Town of Newcastle. We spoke the other day, Jason. You walked through some stuff. We had a brainstorming session. One of our big projects is the Sawmill Valley Diversion Study that Dolph's office had prepared in 2007. We're actually in the process of conducting a meeting with him on Monday to update those costs to reflect the revised cost estimate. We also have some other sanitary sewer infrastructure that could go in our downtown, as well as some drainage and stormwater conveyance projects associated with the streetscape project, help with some localized flooding and concerns into the headwaters of the sawmill. Are those all projects we can add and break down for providing cost estimates from our office? We do have an engineer on staff and myself.
Yes.
Okay.
They're all eligible costs. Correct.
Okay. So we do have a few we can probably augment and add to this list.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Great.
You.
Thanks. Yeah, that's why we're here
to
figure out this stuff. Great. All right. Anybody else from municipality with specific issues? New York City? You want money?
I got somebody coordinating with Jason.
All right. So you guys
hopefully
are
she's been in touch. If she's not, please let me know.
All right. Then with that, we can get out of here early today. We don't have to stay the whole hour and a half. But if anybody else has anything that they want to raise. Oh, here's a question. Jason, if you want to log off, we're just going to do some housekeeping business. Thank you very much. We'll,
okay,
no,
yeah,
actually, stay on, for this. Stay on for this because the housekeeping business involves you.
Okay.
Folks, do we want to do an August meeting? Or is everybody going to be away in August? Should we do something in early September?
I think that's what we did last year.
All right, why don't we stay in touch by email? All right, so Jason, you've got August off.
Okay.
Maybe what we can do, we'll put this as one of the agenda items for the September meeting. We'll do it early in September. Paul, hopefully you'll be ready for your piece. That'll kind of be the centerpiece of the September meeting. And then I know we've got backing up. We've got a couple of companies that do alternative technologies, and not that we recommend companies here or products here, but it may be in October or November a way just to broaden our education span, so maybe we'll consider those for the fall. All right, Jason, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
So, okay, bye-bye.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
So we're going to give him a revised thing, I guess, by July 22nd.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
And then, Wendy, if you would send him this one, from Mount Kisco, and then everybody else is responsible for their stuff. So, all right. With that, I'll entertain a motion to close. What we'll do is we'll probably just circulate by email.
You want to do the minutes?
We did that at the beginning.
Okay.
We'll circulate by email over the next week or two possible dates for September, rather than pick one now. And have a great August, everybody. Thanks. This has been a productive exercise, I think. It's
going
to be good. So, a motion to close?
So moved.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Aye. The formality of the septic subcommittee.
Yes.
There we go again.
God, I never thought in my wildest dreams. Back in the septic school.
That's right. Well, we went to septic camp.
You went to septic camp? Right, yeah.
We did. We went up to...
Yeah,
we went up to... When he...